Chapter 14, Section 2, The Law and the Prophets, Adam to Noah. To answer this question, why did Jesus have to die? We will go back in time and begin with the story of Adam and Eve. Remember the unique friendship that existed between God and man at the beginning of creation? The Lord created man not as a robot, but with a will so that by the obedient choices he made, he would honor God, just as an obedient son honors his father. You will recall that through obedience, man enjoyed tremendous benefits from this relationship. For the Lord of the universe was committed to Adam and Eve's well-being, walking and talking with them as their friend. But then Adam and Eve deliberately ignored God's instructions and experimented with forbidden knowledge. The scripture uses some powerful word pictures to help us understand what happened. The Bible says that man chose his own path, to do his own thing, but that path led into a spiritual wilderness. Man was lost. Instead of seeking God, man joined the ranks of others who had disobeyed him. He joined Satan and his demons, thus becoming an enemy of God. Immediately, the unique friendship between God and man ended. Separated by sin from the perfect, holy God, man became a stranger. God was no longer close. He seemed remote and distant. Satan was not the benevolent friend God had been. Rather, the devil manipulated man with lies to do his satanic will. Man became a slave to Satan and a slave to sin. God had taken off the mantle of friendship and had donned a magistrate's cloak. As man's judge, God found man guilty of a crime, breaking God's holy law, sin against a holy God. Sin demanded the punishment of death. God, in effect, wrote out a verdict, a certificate of debt that man must pay with his own death. First, man would die physically. After death, man would enter into a second death, a punishment shared with Satan and his demons in the lake of fire. God and man's unique relationship was over. It was dead. Man now had no choice in whether he wanted to die or not. Death, in all of its three aspects, ruled man's life. Man could do nothing about it. It was a bitter, potent reality that all faced, that all shared, that all who thought soberly feared. These word pictures help us understand just how far removed from God man had become as a result of Adam and Eve's sin in the garden. Remember how Adam and Eve attempted to remedy their situation by putting on fig leaves? Their leaf clothes did not mend the broken relationship. Indeed, God rejected their efforts. It was at this point that God began to teach Adam and Eve, as well as us, universal principles that would apply to all mankind. Just as Adam and Eve could not make themselves acceptable to God by fixing up their outward appearance, neither can we be accepted based on our externals. We may impress others with what we are on the outside, but God knows what we are really like. God didn't leave Adam and Eve in the lurch. In His love, He provided a way of acceptance, but on different terms. The Bible says that
the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. Genesis 3:21.
The significance of this little verse would be overlooked if it wasn't for other parts of the Bible explaining it. So what does it mean? What would Jesus have told the disciples? Very simply this. Just as an animal had to die to clothe Adam and Eve in acceptable clothing, so Jesus died to make us acceptable in the presence of God. This was and is God's idea. It's God's way to acceptability. As the disciples struggled to comprehend what Jesus was saying, there must have been a torrent of questions. Why would God make an animal die for Adam and Eve? Why didn't God just clothe them with some sort of leaves that God had picked? And why would Jesus have to die for us? Was there not another way? We can suppose that Jesus continued with the next story, Cain and Abel. Remember how Adam and Eve's children brought sacrifices to God? Cain brought vegetables and grain.
But Abel brought the firstborn of his flock. Genesis 4:4.
God rejected Cain's sacrifice, but he accepted Abel's. Why was this? Remember how God established laws to govern moral behavior? We noted that one of God's laws states that
the soul who sins shall die. Ezekiel 18:4, New King James Version.
To be perfectly just and impartial, God had to enforce that law. Man had to die for his sin. But God also loved man, so in his grace, he showed man mercy. He provided a way for man to escape that death. God told man to take an animal, kill it, and let its blood run out on an altar, because
it is the blood that makes atonement for one's life. Leviticus 17:11b.
Through the shed blood, man would find an atonement covering for his sin. Now when God looked at man, he would not see the sin, but rather he would see the covering. When man believed God and followed his instructions, God honored man's faith in his word, and man's sin was forgiven. This is what God had done for Adam and Eve. He had provided them with a covering of skins. When God looked at them, he did not see their sin, but rather he saw his provision, a covering, provided by the shed blood of animals. So what was going on with Cain and Abel? What would Jesus have told his disciples? Cain brought the wrong sacrifice. He had his own ideas about God. But God doesn't adjust the Bible to fit each man's whims. The bottom line is this: vegetables and grain cannot shed blood. Cain ignored the fact that
without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Hebrews 9:22.
His sacrifice did not provide an atonement covering for his sin. Cain was doing his own thing. It didn't work. The Bible tells us,
do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one. His own actions were evil, and his brothers were righteous. 1 John 3:12.
On the other hand, Abel came God's way, believing God's word. His was a blood sacrifice, an animal which died to provide a covering for his sin. Abel's obedience to God showed that he was putting faith in God. Because of that faith, God accepted Abel's sacrifice and forgave his sin. In the same way, all mankind must come to God in God's way. If we follow God's instructions, then it shows we are believing him, and he will honor our faith. The Bible says that the sacrifice that was offered for us was the ultimate blood sacrifice, Jesus, God himself. Jesus' blood was shed so that our sins might be forgiven. Now, when God looks at us, he doesn't see our sin, but rather he sees Jesus' righteous life covering our wrongdoing. The relationship that was broken by disobedience is now restored through Jesus' death on the cross.
Once you were alienated from God and were enemies, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death. Colossians 1:21-22.
As children of Adam and Eve, we were born into this world as enemies of God. But now, because of what Jesus has done on the cross, we are reconciled. We can be friends again. The broken relationship has been restored.
For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Romans 5:10.
In the days of Noah, the people ignored God's word. Perhaps they thought the old man was crazy. Whatever the case, they persuaded themselves that life existed only for the here and now. God did not withhold his judgment just because they had the wrong philosophy of life. They perished in their foolishness. God was saying this: just as the people of Noah's day were judged for their sin, so God will judge all men regardless of how they think.
The fool says in his heart, there is no God. Psalm 53:1a and 14:1a. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool. Proverbs 28:26a, New King James Version. A person shall die for his own sin. 2 Chronicles 25:4, New King James Version.
God will let us ignore him and even reject his way of escape for a time. But eventually we must face the inescapable conclusion. We must pay our sin debt with our eternal death. Remember how Noah and his sons were kept safe in the ark? There was only one boat, and only one door to enter and gain refuge from the flood. There was no other option. In the same manner, Jesus Christ is the only way to eternal life. Only through Him can we find safety from everlasting separation from God in the lake of fire.
Jesus answered, "I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." John 14:6.
There is only one way to God. Those who ignore or reject the way face the same fate as those who didn't heed Noah's warnings of the coming flood. Eternal death with all its implications. The Bible is very explicit. Jesus is the only way to God. Remember how we saw that Babel was the first incident of organized religion in the Bible? The people tried to build a tower to reach heaven. We said that a definition for the word religion is this: man's efforts to reach God. In contrast to religion, we said that the only true way to God was provided by the Lord Himself, when in His mercy He reached down to man and provided a way for man to escape the punishment of sin through the blood sacrifice. Man cannot reach God through any religious effort, but God has reached man in the person of Jesus Christ. It is through His shed blood that we have forgiveness of sin and are once again able to enter into a right relationship with Him. The whole idea is God's. Man only has to respond. You can almost see the glimmer of excitement in the disciples' eyes as they listen to God's plan through thousands of years of history being fulfilled in Jesus. For centuries, man had looked forward to the day when he would be delivered from judgment of sin. Now that time had come. But Jesus wasn't finished with His explanation. He continued, no doubt, with the story of Abraham and Isaac.